Amen. Good morning, everyone. Shall we say good morning to one another? Hallelujah. Let's bring out Bible pattern in book and open to page 53. Bible pattern in book, page 53. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and it shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not a waste time. As he ever said it, and not able to do it. As he ever promised what he cannot fulfill. Why not then wait for God? Waiting for God is not in vain. Abraham waited for God for a very long, long time. He kept on believing, and God gave him Isaac. Let us then wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up high with wings as the eagles. Let us please wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not a waste time. As he ever said it, and not able to do it. As he ever promised what he cannot fulfill. I don't then wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not a waste time. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not a waste time. Abraham waited for God for a very long, long time. He kept on believing, and God gave him Isaac. Let us then wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not a waste time. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait for God. waiting for God is not in vain. Wait, wait, wait for God. Waiting for God is not to waste time. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up high with wings as the eagles. Let us please wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait, wait, wait for God. Waiting for God is not to waste time. Wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait, wait, wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait, 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 wait for God. Waiting for God is not in vain. Wait, wait, wait for God. Waiting for God is not to waste time. Amen. God is great. Let's stand up to pray. Oh, it's like unto thee, oh Lord, who is like unto thee, oh Lord, among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises. Though in wonders, hallelujah, hallelujah, who is like God to thee? Oh Lord, who is like unto thee? Oh Lord, among the gods, among the gods, who is like thee? You are glorious in holiness, you are fearful in praises. Doing wonders, hallelujah. Almighty Father, our Father, our Lord, our God, we give you glory and honor. We magnify your holy name. Thank you so much for creating us humans. You could have made us plants. You could have made us animals. But you decided to make us humans. We are grateful to you for all you are doing for us. Among humans, you have set us apart for yourself. You've made us your own children, caring for us in a very special way. Father, we thank you so much. Even among the believers, we can see that you have special interest in us. Thank you for the way you are guiding us, the way you are directing us, the way you are leading us, the things you are teaching us. Thank you so much for guiding us, guiding our footsteps. Thank you for ministering to our hearts and blessing our lives. We cannot thank you enough. We appreciate you. Be thou honored, O Lord. Be thou glorified. Thank you for the new things you have started teaching us again. This is a time you have set apart for miracles. And we know for sure we enjoy a lot of them. Thank you, Father. As we go into the world today, cause our hearts to open. Cause our hearts to be receptive. Cause your word to have a place in us where it will do us good. May we not misunderstand your word today. Grant us the understanding of your will, understanding of your plan, understanding of your purpose in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everything we will learn today, O Lord, cause to bless us today. Amen. And all the remaining days of our lives. Amen. May we not hear any of them in vain. Amen. We love you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Another good amen. Glory be to God who has made it possible for us to be in his presence to continue the study of his word. Last week, we started a new series of studies about the major miracles of the Old Testament. At the beginning of the study, we said that the miracles of the Old Testament are actually the foundation for all other miracles of God. Foundation for the miracles that were performed at the beginning of the church and the miracles of God that have been performed all over the world today, and the ones each of us have experienced. We looked at divine instruments of creation. Okay, last week we took this study number one, the miracle of creation. And under that, we were only able to look at divine instruments of creation. We said that among the things God used to create was the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. When he said, "Let there be light," it was so. When he asked the air to come out of the water, it was so. The spoken Word of God. Also, the working hands of God. We are able to see that God actually used his hand in creating some of the things we have in the world today. And thirdly, the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. It was through him all things were made, the Bible says. And lastly, the written Word of God. We said that today, God have decided to give his word to us in a written form. And God is still using this to do his work in the lives of those who give attention to the word of God. We concluded the study last week by emphasizing the importance of the word of God today. We said that in the days of Adam, God was actually coming and appearing physically to Adam. They saw each other, they communed with each other, just like I'm seeing you, like you are seeing me. But what when Adam sinned, that stopped. Man could only hear the voice of God. But God was coming and talking. And man could hear the voice of God distinctly, clearly, like you are hearing me and like I can hear you. But it got to a time that man could not hear God the way Adam was hearing. God was now communicating with man through intermediaries. And we say that today, the method God uses to communicate with people is through the written word, the Bible. I don't want to forget something we emphasized last week. I asked us last week that at the time God decided to talk to man instead of appearing like he used to appear to Adam, if somebody will want to wait until he sees God physically before he will receive the word of God, will he ever receive the word of God? We said no. Today, God has chosen to talk to us, to communicate with us, to relate with us through the written word of God. If anybody will not give the written word of God, the Holy Bible, its rightful place in his life, but we want God to be talking to him audibly, he will have no relationship with God. It is this desire to hear audibly, directly, without the Bible, that is making people to go from pillar to post today. They go from church to church. If anybody says, I know how to hear from God, God has been talking to me, people rush there. I'm not suggesting that God cannot use any of the methods he has used before, but I'm saying you should know the program of God each time and relate with him accordingly. Though, when Adam sinned, he changed the method of communicating with man, relating with man, from physical appearance to talking audibly. We still have the record of God appearing to some people, just like he appeared to Adam. We heard about how he appeared to Abraham at Mamre. He appeared to Jacob on the way to Iran. He appeared to Moses through the burning fire. We see Manoah's wife and so many, Joshua, the son of Nun. We have various appearances of God, but you could see that these are exceptions. That was not the normal, the regular, the usual pattern. And today, God still talks to his children. Prophecy, visions, and so on. But we need to understand that this is not the usual, the normal pattern today. The normal pattern today is for us to hear from God through the Holy Bible. If there is a revelation from God, it could be an addition. If there is a prophecy from God, it could be an addition. But the primary means of hearing from God today is the Holy Bible. And we should be satisfied with that if we are going to have relationship with God. Hallelujah. We come to church to study the Bible so that we will understand our relationship with God, so that we will understand the part we have to play, and also to be able to understand what to expect from God. When we give the right attention to the word of God, we will not have wrong expectation, abnormal expectation from God. Because abnormal expectation from God always leads to disappointment. This can lead to discouragement. It can lead to defeat, Satan defeating the heart it has led some people to destruction. May that not be our portion. By studying the word of God, you are able to know what God is likely going to do in any given situation. You are able to know what to expect from him. You are also able to know what he is expecting from you. When you study the Bible and understand, you will know what God is expecting from you, and that is what you offer to God. God is not a man, but he is a person. But God is very strict. He knows what he's looking for, and he doesn't accept alternatives. When God expects you to do this, is that exactly you must do if you are going to be acceptable to him? If instead of doing that he expects from you, you do something similar, something related, something almost like it, you can be sure you are wasting your life. He expected Cain and Abel to bring sacrifice containing blood. Abel brought sacrifice containing blood. Cain brought something that doesn't contain blood. And he accepted the sacrifice of Abel, rejected the sacrifice of Cain. Instead of Cain to turn around, repent, and do the necessary correction, Cain decided to put the blame on somebody else, his brother. You know the end of the story. So the time we spend in the church to study the Bible will not be wasted if we understand the purpose of the study. We try to understand what we are studying, and through that we know what is expected of us, and do exactly that. Today, we are looking at the second part of the miracle of creation. And the topic is the original configuration of the world. The original configuration of the world. If you have the book, The Major Miracles of the Old Testament, we are in page 21, column 2, division 2, column 2. If you have Simeonology, the big book from where we brought the major miracles of the Old Testament, go to page 306. That is where you will get the study of today. By that I mean that what you have in the book, The Major Miracles of the Old Testament, is not arranged exactly the way you find it in the book Simeonology. But wherever we don't follow the normal arrangement of Simeonology, it is indicated. If you have the book, you will see that it is indicated at the beginning of this subheading. So what we are looking at today is the original configuration of the world. By the configuration of the world, I mean the manner in which the world and the things therein are prepared and arranged so that it will function well for the benefit of all its inhabitants. Evolutionists will want you to agree or believe that the world came into existence by accident. They want you to believe that there is no God, a supreme being, who decided to create the world and created everything, arranged them, configured them, and made them to function the way they function. But if you look at the world, starting with your own life, your immediate surrounding. If you are opportune to look beyond your surrounding, if you have knowledge and you are able to know about places beyond your reach, you will see a kind of perfection in everything that couldn't have been there unless a designer designed everything the way they are. This is a nightmare for the evolutionist. They can't explain it. You said there's no God in heaven who made everything and made them to function the way they function. Then how come that we have a perfect law that governs the activities of all these things, the functioning of all these things? The law of nature, for example, has made it that whenever you want to reproduce any creature of God, you must get a male and a female. Is that correct? The law that makes every creature to produce its kind. Scientists have tried so many things. They have dreamt so many things. They have thought of so many things. But it has not been possible for scientists to produce human beings through monkeys. And it will never be possible. The Bible says it is only a fool that says there is no God. There is God in heaven who decided to make the world and made it. What we are now telling ourselves today is that God did not only make the world and just allow the world to continue, like the deist will tell us. Deist will tell you that God, maybe God sometimes in the eternity past, just make all the things that we have in the world, but he simply allowed them to function the way they like. Theologians call the God of the deist absent landlord. But do you know the truth? God is the sustainer of the world. It doesn't mean that he uses his hand to move the stars to revolve around their suns. Like Yalamala, we use Orogun to turn the Amala. Or a driver will use his hand to turn the steering of the car. Nevertheless, he has given each component of the systems we have in the world the commandment and the order in which they must function. And they kept on obeying that order, because it was not an empty order. It was an order with authority, order with power. Hallelujah. Now, having established the fact that God actually made the world and everything therein and configure it in such a way that it will function well, we want to look at why he did that. So let's go back to the word configuration. I repeat, by the configuration of the world, I mean the manner in which the world and the things therein are prepared and arranged so that it will function well for the benefit of all its inhabitants. One important thing I want you to keep in your heart here, I'm deliberately slow, is that God originally configured the world in such a way that it will function well for the benefit of all its inhabitants. By inhabitants of the world, I mean every human being, every goat, every bird, every insect, every fish in the water. God configured the world in such a way that no creature of the world, or rather no creature of God in the world, will lack or suffer anything. Hallelujah. Microsoft Encounter Dictionary defines the word configuration as follows. 1. Arrangement of parts. The way the parts or elements of something are arranged and fit together. 2. Shape or outline. The shape or outline of something determined by the way its parts or elements are arranged. You see that the word arrangement continue, arrange, arrangement continues to reoccur in this definition. 3. Computing. Computer system setup. The manner in which the software, an internal and external hardware component of a computer system, are arranged and interconnected so that the system functions correctly. 4. Chemistry, physics, arrangement of atoms in molecule. The fixed, stable, spatial arrangement of atoms within a molecule. From all of these, you will see that the work configuration has a word that keeps on recurring. Arrangement. Everybody say arrangement. Say it again. Whenever anybody tampers with that original arrangement of God, there'll be trouble. There are two major things I want us to gain from this study, or I think God will want us to gain. There are other ones, but two principal things is that in the world of today, just like from the beginning, the plan of God is that you will not lack nothing. And that's the arrangement he made originally. The number two thing I want to gain from this study, and I think God wants us to gain, is that anything God arrange, you have to leave it as God arrange it. Immediately you adjust it or you do anything to it, you have tampered with that configuration. That thing will not benefit you the way God expects it to benefit you. We will get to that. Hallelujah. Amen. To say the truth, the world was originally configured. I mean, page 22 of the study, column 1, study book column 1. To say the truth, the world was originally configured in such a way that none of its inhabitants will suffer any lack. And in fact, even today, no other, take note of the word order, no other inhabitants of the world, apart from man, are lacking anything unless that lack is as a result of human activities around their habitats. Take for example the birds. Though they are always flying around, one has never seen them crying for lack of food unless when human sins and activities bring drought to their environment. You wonder,
how these birds are able to feed. In one location, you may find birds running to hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands, all of them flying. But one thing you will notice is that they don't look sad, do they? Do they look sad? Do they look ugly? They look beautiful. By the time you see ugliness or sadness or anything in any of these creatures, man has tampered with them. But if you leave them where God puts them, if you see the way the birds fly, you see they are happy, they are birds. You say they don't envy us. They don't envy us at all. They are happy that they are birds. And they fly. They sing. Am I correct? They don't sing like hungry birds. It's only when you bring birds into captivity or you go to tamper with their habitats that they have problems. But if you travel from your own house, your location, to where God puts them, and you see them in their natural habitat without man tampering with them, one thing you will notice is that they are satisfied. Nobody needs to tell you. You see it on their faces. They are satisfied. They are happy. They are content. That's the plan of God. And it is the plan of God forever. One of the things the salvation of Jesus is trying to do for us is to restore us to the original, to our original configuration. Somebody say, but that has not happened. We are not going to have the full benefit of salvation until all rebellion in the world has been dealt with. We live in the world of rebellion, and the rebels are all around us, and they make things very, very difficult. You say, who are the rebels? Number one of the rebels is Satan. Demons are his co-workers, and they have won a lot of men to their side. They all agree together to make life unbearable for everybody. And that is why we experience what we experience today. By the time the rebellion is finally taken care of, oh my God, you will be happy you are a man. Just like the birds are happy, they are birds. If you, I'm not a diver. I don't know if we have any diver here. So I can't suggest you have been to the bottom of the sea, not even of the lagoon there. And where you stand and you look at the surface, unless you have an equipment, you may not see what is inside. But thank God for television. Through television, I'm sure almost all of us have seen what is inside the sea. Am I correct? Do you see the way fishes move in the sea? Have you seen sardine before in the sea? Sardine. You don't see them moving 3 or 10, no. They move in thousands. I wonder who commands them. If they are facing this direction, suddenly they move this direction again. They move this, in fact, this acrobatic movement. Sometimes you just like to look at it. You know that these fishes, they are happy here. They are satisfied. You know another thing you discover? They are not struggling. It's not the plan of God for us to struggle. The original plan of God is for us. We need water. Get water. You need fruit. Get fruit. Somebody say you need amala. You get amala. Now, what's the solution? Cooperation. Everybody say cooperation. If we cooperate with God, things will normalize. It's like it will be in my power. And I will just sit on the seat of one of these, which one? Obama's seat is not strong enough for that.
And you know Jonathan's seat, how it is. Whose seat?
Hitler tried to create a seat.
But the end of it, he committed suicide. I think that's terrible frustration and acknowledgement of defeat. Who has ever tried it and succeed? Among humans.
Oh! All right, there is a seat like that
where you will sit down and call all the people in the world together and say, come, let's reason together. When Adam was doing the perfect will of God, what was the condition? Let's read the Bible to find out. When did man begin to experience wahala, trouble, sorrow, fear, unrest, sickness, disappointment, defeat, discouragement, failure? When he sinned.
Each descendant of Adam that tried to return to God, immediately they moved towards the direction of God. What happened to them?
Light. They are illuminated. Understanding. Joy. Peace. Satisfaction. And they go deeper and deeper into it until they decide to look back. Then wahala come again. Why can't we just agree now that we will return to God? And thank God he has given us a Savior, Jesus Christ. If all of us, the whole world, will cry to Jesus, save us now, we'll be saved. Guess. If everybody in the world would decide this morning, almost 8 o'clock now, I will say, between 8 o'clock and 12 noon, we'll repent of our sins, we'll confess our sins, we'll pray to God for mercy. How long will it take God to save our souls? Come on. But the devil will never permit that.
It shall be well.
Now let me ask you a question. If that would be possible, that the whole world, everybody in Russia, everybody in Somalia, everybody in Afghanistan, everybody in Nigeria, everybody in Cotonou, would just agree to seek the face of God for mercy and pray for salvation. If that would be possible, will you cooperate with that? I'm asking you. I demand an answer. I want you to answer individually. If it will be possible that everybody in my village, everybody in your village, everybody in Lagos, everybody in Oshodi, Ikeja, Agege, Obawole, we agree that between 8 o'clock today and 12 noon, we'll repent of our sins, we'll confess the sins, we'll see the face of God for mercy, and we ask God to save our souls. Will you like that? Will you cooperate?
Yes.
Will you be part of that?
Yes.
What will be the result? Huh? Well, let me warn you. God has put in place facilities that will facilitate your doing that alone. And God is not going to wait for the rest people in your compound, in your family, in your church, in your community, before he will respond to you. The same result you desire for the whole world, you get for yourself when you alone decide to take that step. And that is why some people in the world today are enjoying the peace of God. Yes. The presence of the rest rebels, the presence of other people in the world that have gone contrary to the way of God, are creating even those who have accepted God's mercy, affecting them negatively. Nevertheless, you will never appreciate what it means to be a believer until you decide to go back to sin. May you never try it. Some unbelievers, there are unbelievers who will tell you that, stay in that your Jesus, you. Stay in that your Jesus, you. I had the story of a former pastor of Bible Pattern. If he hears this, may he not be angry. He had a discussion with another pastor. I don't want to describe the condition of the second pastor so that calculators will not do their calculation. But former pastor of Bible Pattern Church said this. The one he spoke to, who is he? I won't tell you. And that will not allow me to say everything he said. But I will just bring this area. He told that fellow that, stay in Bible Pattern now. Outside is not good though. Former pastor of Bible Pattern Church saying that to the person I will not describe. Stay in Bible Pattern now. Outside is not good though. Let me ask you a question. If that fellow will give himself, not his friend now, if he will give himself good counsel, what should he tell himself? Ha! Yeah? Hear what he said to that fellow. Stay in Bible Pattern. Outside is no good though. Before anybody says that, he must have seen something. He must have heard something. Possibly experienced something. Now that you are counseling your brother like that, what should you counsel yourself? But the devil will not permit that. Go back to where? And the devil will say, go back to where? After you shop my goats. This is well in Jesus' name. Don't let me turn into sermon. Let's go for our study. I've almost finished the time preaching. But I'm sure you are getting what we are saying.
Hallelujah.
Animals in the forest, they are always in the midst of plenty of food. Even the water creatures, they are always having adequate supply of their needs right inside the waters. Look at me. If you have seen hippopotamus before, raise your hand. Hippopotamus. Eh? I don't ask question now. I know some of you raising hand are not raising the hand correctly because you have not seen it before. But you have seen it on TV. Yes. Uh-huh. If you are, yeah, you have seen it physically. Okay, you are. Okay, I agree with you. At least you have seen it on television, Abi. How big is it? What about the mouth? Eh? How much food will satisfy that body? I know not all of you will raise your hand for this. How many of you have seen whale before? Whale. The fish they call whale. If you have seen whale before, raise your hand. Raise it high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Among all of you, around 8 of us. Okay, maybe 2 there or 3 that have seen it before. You know the whale we saw before? They are all baby whales. I'm telling you. Real whale. The thickness from under the belly to the back, if you put tape, you measure in some whales 30 feet. If you are walking inside the whale, you will think that you are in your neighborhood. You don't think you are inside your room. The very big ones. The question I ask myself is, what is the food of whale? How many kilo of food will he eat per day? Come on.
Have you ever seen whale at the seashore yawning?
I say, maybe food. This thing is lacking food.
Go to where God puts it to live. Whales migrate from place to place. Those who have studied whales, they know that when it is winter, they are so place. When it is other time, this is where you find them. You say, why?
God has programmed them in such a way that they know where to find their food in this season.
And that means them to travel very long distance to relocate from one place to the other so that they will be where they will get adequate supply each time. Do you know birds migrate like that? Have you ever seen bush? What? Bush cow. Wild cow in the bush, in the wild. You've not seen them before.
Yeah.
If you see them traveling, okay, which one can I use? Even goats in the wild, not the domestic goats. If you see them traveling, count. When you count 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, you say, have I missed it? You start counting again. And all of them traveling the same time. In some cases, they will need to cross river. You wonder, how will they cross? They jump into the river. Their eater are also around. Crocodile is there waiting. And as they jump into the river, they carry the leg of one, pull it into the river, turn it, spin. That one is there. Carry it to one corner. I'll be eating. The rest will go. The point I'm making is that why are they running from one location to the other? They know that drought is coming to this place. And they are going to greener place. Who is telling them the story?
Amen.
Birds. Who tells them it's time to move from the north to the south? It's time to move from the south to the north. And all these droughts and things that made them to move, they are the result of our activities. Let's understand God. I pray that God will give us understanding.
Amen. May He give us understanding.
Amen.
I believe many of you are now beginning to understand wishes. You say you return it to it again. I will continue to return to it. I say you are now beginning to understand wishes that they don't eat Christian. Eh? That we are free from them. That we don't waste our saliva praying about wishes all the time. I think you understand that. That even if a wish is at the entrance, we can sleep inside the room and sleep well. May we understand God in all other areas in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This area of provision, the will of God is for you to have sufficient. It's not the will of God that you should lack. It's not the will of God you should suffer hunger. He said, my time, I'll suffer hunger. May God deliver us from that suffering.
Amen.
You know the truth? We may not know everything in one day. But as we continue, we'll know more and more. And the Bible says, when you know the truth will set you free. Free from what? Whatever you need to be delivered from. So, all we have been saying is that God originally configured the world, arranged everything in the world in such a way that everything and everyone living in the world will be adequately cared for. Everything, everyone living in the world will be adequately cared for. We have three things to look at. Number one, the creation song of the psalmist. Number two, the Adamic blessing. Number three, the Noahic blessing. If we pay attention to these three things, we understand this configuration of the world better. The creation song of the psalmist. This song of the psalmist is very wonderful. We have it in Psalm 104. It gives a very good picture of the original configuration of the world, and it deserves our serious meditation. As we read it, we'll see that the world was originally specially made to be a very conducive and comfortable place of abode for all the creatures of God meant to live in the world. Let me quickly say here that whether we are able to realize and enjoy this provision of God, that we are not to lack in the world, one thing is sure. If we are able to stay in Jesus and we are able to make it at last, you can be sure in eternity, it will be more than glorious. Amen. I've told you that the activities of rebels that we are sharing the world with are not allowing us to enjoy everything that the salvation of Jesus makes available. But a day is coming that all of them will be removed, and we'll find ourselves where they cannot come. Is then we'll enjoy fully the benefit of our being saved. Oh, you didn't understand. If you are not a smoker, but as you go to university, you are made to share a room with a smoker, can the activity of that smoker affect you negatively?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Even if you succeed, which may not be possible all the time, to make sure it does not smoke inside the room, will you succeed in removing the smoke from his sweat, eh? From his cloth, from his breath? When it comes to the room, won't he breathe? Part of the smoke will come back, and the fan in the room will blow it. Guess the first burst up? Your nose. You are not part of the evil, but you are suffering. When you travel in a public transport and the conductor decides to be smoking, shout if you like. It will supply you a little of the smoke. And that is why I've told you before, if you know how smoke smells, cigarette, how it smells, you can perceive the odor of cigarette. It simply means that you are a smoker. You say, no, I'm not a smoker in Jesus' name. You are an involuntary smoker. And if you ask the expert, they tell you that smoke is not only the voluntary smokers, all over the world, every year, cigarette kill a lot of involuntary smokers. It's because we live in the same world with them. When armed robbers go to rob, and police go to look for them, when they begin to exchange bullets, has it ever killed innocent people? The innocent person is not an armed robber. Neither is even a policeman. But the activity of the armed robbers / police creating a problem. That's a problem we have in the world. But at the other side, I keep watching for the dawning of tomorrow, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the troubles of today will then be over. God will wipe all the teardrops from our eyes. We are here today. We began tomorrow. Sing it.
And this life will live on be a memory. We are here today. We began tomorrow. When we praise the Lord through all eternity.
One song says, can I remember that song? Which song? It says, okay, dearest of ties, we must suffer. Dearest of ties, we must suffer. Husband and wife, oh, they be hoping to wed, two of them, they are in courtship, they are preparing, and one day everybody gather and the man of God hold their hands, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And after the reception, they say, man, carry your wife and go home. And for the first time, publicly, openly, he holds the hands of the woman and said, no, this is a wonderful tie, dearest tie, and takes the woman home. And when they sit in the sitting room, something within him is saying, you are ending up inside that room. He said, where is woman? Won't pastor complain? Pastor will not complain. She is now your wife. And after everything, everybody said, good night, good night, good night. And they left two of you in the house. I locked the door. Wara, wara. Hey, what are you about to? I'm not in a hotel room. I'm in my house. What a woman. Carry her to your bed. Sleep with the woman. Wake up in the morning. You want to talk in tongue. You are still able to talk in tongue. I've not seen. That's a very dear time. But one day, in the world, one sneezes. Doctors come. Rush. Bring injection. Bring this. And after some time, he comes with his microphone and loudspeaker. Put here. You could read the message on the face of the doctor. And doctors, may God have mercy on them. Amen. The way they say it sometimes, other people bow to it, they pay kilos. Sorry. We lost her. Hello, honey. We shaking it. It's gone. That's the arrest of time. That we must do what? We must see far. But there the Bible says, no sign forever. When I cross the lines, my love, the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that are with me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Yeah, the dearest of ties we must see far. It's a song I know very well. I can't remember. It was about tears. It was about sighing. But there have been nothing like that. Okay, this one is simple. We can all sing it. No more crying when we get to heaven. Joy, joy when we get to heaven. It's there we enjoy all the benefits of our coming to Jesus. But we have to stay in Jesus now to be able to enjoy the benefit then. Is then the original plan of God will now come to fulfillment. They will now appreciate the fact that God is so good, so kind, so caring, so loving, so supportive, so considerate. In fact, Jesus said there is none good as he is. We won't appreciate that until we get there. I pray you will make it. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Meanwhile, whatever we can get here, we try to get. But evil will not be totally eliminated until all the rebels are brought to judgment. Hallelujah. So we are looking at the creation song of the psalmist. We are reading verses 1 to 35 of Psalm 104. Pay serious attention. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariots? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angel spirit, his ministers a flame of fire? That is general. Let's come to our own verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast formed, hast founded for them. Thou hast set a cloud that they may not pass over. Sorry, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sended the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Do you hear that? The springs, they are meant to give drink to every beast of the field. The white asses quench their thirst. By them shall the vows of the heaven have their habitation. We sing among the branches. He watered the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle, and have for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he had planted, where the bears made their nest. As for the stock, the fir trees our house. The eyes are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for cornets. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows is going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and they lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifest are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the sheaves. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. This wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them the gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his work. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless out the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Time will not permit us to take this point. If you will sit down, 2 days, you will still be analyzing what you have in that scripture. But what the psalmist was actually saying is that God configured this world so well. So well. In such a way that what you need will be available where you will be able to reach to get it. Well, unfortunately, look at what the world is now. But surely, surely, Peter said we are waiting for new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. If it is possible to make everybody living in the world to be righteous today, what would the world look like? Every senator, every governor, every local government chairman, every president, every pastor, every church member, every child, every grandmother, if everybody will be righteous. We have enough in the world. In fact, much more than enough to take care of every need. But unfortunately, the unrighteous, the agents of the devil, has turned everything around. I want to beg you, stay in Jesus. It will soon be glorious. It will soon be wonderful. You say, Jesus will come, Jesus will come, Jesus has not come. If Jesus does not come, you will die. If you die as a believer in Jesus, you will see lack no more, poverty no more, trouble no more, sorrow no more, disappointment, defeat, discouragement, no more, failure no more. Let's look at the next thing. Man has had two beginnings in the world, according to the Bible. The first beginning was when Adam and Eve were originally made, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And the second beginning was when God used flood to kill every man living on the face of the earth, sparing only Noah, his wife, their three sons, and the three wives of the sons. I have told you why this has to be so. Do I need to remind you? When Adam sinned, among the things God said to the devil was that I put an enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It will bruise your head while you will bruise his heel. Talking about how the devil will cause Jesus to be crucified, and God and Jesus through death will destroy the devil. The devil understood. He knew what that meant. He knew the implication of that. And from that moment, he began to work so hard to make sure that the Messiah does not come. Abel was the right child. He caused Abel to be killed. God gave shit instead. He decided to pollute all the Adamic race by causing angels to go into the daughters of men and produce abnormal children called giants. His plan was to pollute the Adamic blood in such a way that there be no pure Adamic blood to produce the Messiah. To make sure that that does not happen, God decided to kill everybody in the world, leaving only a family. Why? The family of Noah was still pure Adamic blood. There had been no pollution of any kind. It wasn't that Noah was so free, he doesn't commit any sin, he was so righteous, he was so holy. God counted his faith in him for righteousness. To know that Noah was also capable of sinning. How long did it take Noah to produce alcohol and get drunk after the flood? It's written in your Bible. How long did it take human being to return to wickedness after the flood? You have Genesis chapter 11. They refuse to spread. But one thing God has done, as at then, all the giants have been destroyed. So human race can start to increase again. So the first beginning of man was God, when God created Adam. The second beginning of man in the world was when man began life again after the flood. Now, at each of the beginnings, God pronounced blessings upon man. And these blessings are very revealing. What did I say, everybody? Hear me. Man started when Adam was made. Man restarted after the flood. At each of the beginnings, God pronounced special blessing of man on man, and these blessings are revealing. We are looking at the original configuration of the world, and through that, looking at what is the plan of God for man, what is the intention of God for man, what does God expect man to experience in the world. Let's take the Adamic blessing. The blessing God pronounced on Adam and his wife immediately they were made proves beyond any reasonable doubt that he wanted man to live a very comfortable and prosperous life in the world. Also, what he told Adam about their creatures, about other creatures that were to be living with them in the world, shows that he wanted them also to live under a very conducive and prosperous atmosphere in the world. Look at it, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yield to you shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God had finished arranging everything, he looked at it and said, this is not just good, this is very good. If God could make special arrangements like this for the comfort of not only man but also ordinary animals that are meant to be killed and eaten, surely he is a very wonderfully caring God who is very concerned about all his creatures' well-being. Your well-being is important to God. Man, as a special creation of God, needs to know that with his cooperation, God can go to any length to meet his needs. This was why he performed all the miracles of provisions he performed in the Bible days, which he is still performing today, and is still very much willing to perform in the future in the lives of those who put their trust in him. Acts 14:17 says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Let's look at Noahic blessing. Though the sin that Adam as well as his descendants went into brought terrible problems, the cumulative effect of which was the universal flood of Noah, that God was still very much interested in the well-being of man could be seen from the blessing he pronounced on Noah and his family after the flood. You know, the blessing he pronounced on Adam originally had been corrupted by the sin of Adam, and they could not have the full fulfillment of it. When he gave man the opportunity to start again, he pronounced blessing again. Noahic blessing. Genesis chapter 9 from verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. I sincerely wish you said amen.
Amen.
Ha. Put yourself in the position of Adam and his family. And after God has said all of this, in conclusion, he said, and you, be ye fruitful.
Amen.
What will I do for you? Stand up and say amen 7 times. Seven!
Amen. 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 Amen.
Ah! And you, be ye fruitful.
Amen.
And multiply.
Amen.
And bring forth abundantly in the earth.
Amen.
And multiply therein. How can you tell me you disagree with that? Ask your neighbor, how can you say you disagree with that? Ah! You will be fruitful.
Amen.
You will multiply.
Amen.
You will increase.
Amen.
A child is asking me, is he by force? By force. Sit down. Have I not told you my success is hidden inside your home?
Yes.
You have to succeed.
Amen.
So if I don't want to succeed, Inko, it's too late for you. Tell your neighbor, it's too late for you. You must succeed. You must prosper. You must increase. What do I do for you people? Say you're always complaining. I'm always complaining. If I'm the one who said it, maybe you understand. Bible, I'm reading it for you. I told you that God appeared to Adam physically. He later talked to him audibly. And that today if he's talking to us, he will talk to us where? Eh? Then when I read waiting, they talk. Waiting are supposed to say.
Amen.
I will read it again. And you, be you fruitful.
Amen.
And multiply.
Amen.
And bring forth abundantly in the earth.
Amen.
And multiply therein.
Amen.
Put your hand on your head and say, I agree.
Amen.
It is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ah. Why are we here? So what I'm bringing out of all of this is that God never planned that any of the inhabitants of the world will lack anything good in the world. His plan was that all the inhabitants of the world will have everything in abundance. This means then that the poverty most men are experiencing in the world today is in total disagreement with what God originally planned as he desires for man. Somebody was asking something about Old Testament yesterday. So I'm sure there is somebody who says it's meant for Old Testament believer. In the book of Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul, apostle, moving from Ajangboju to Ajangbaja, preaching the gospel up and down. He wrote to Timothy that was made the bishop of the Ephesian church. He said, God gives us all things to enjoy. So apostle can enjoy. Bishop can enjoy. pastor can enjoy, a Christian can enjoy through the help of God without buying to the devil. I'm not crossing to the next topic this morning. Not only that you'll be able to go on time, but also that we can talk to God. God has not changed his mind concerning us, concerning people in the world. Like we have agreed, if it will be possible to make everybody in the world to repent today, give their life to Jesus and become righteous, I tell you, peace will reign. Joy will reign. There will be surplusity. God doesn't waste anything. Nevertheless, how do I put this one? I hope my English will not be bad English. But whether bad or good English, you will understand what I mean. God is not a God of just enough. Say it. I beg you that if the English is bad, pardon me. I said God is not a God of just enough. Say it. Everything God provides, he provides in excess. You say, what does that mean? He expects you to take the one you need, leave the rest. You say, what happens to the rest? He recycles it. He reuses it. You don't understand. Okay, oh, thank God we are now one of our mama said it in my hearing. She was talking about somebody. And she said, Kolu Emalo se omomonu. You know the meaning? How do I say that in Europe, in English? So that you will not refuse to give back to all the children you're supposed to born, so that there will be no children left in your womb. You say, what does that mean? The thinking, for lack of knowledge, is that a woman will deliver all the babies in her before she dies. Will that be possible? How many eggs are in a woman? When they count the sperm of a man, what do they use to count it? I'm not a gynecologist, I may not know all the details, but I'm sure they count it in millions. You say, what does that mean? It means that if a woman will burn all the pikin in him, in her, she will burn like fish. In case you don't know, where is it? I love you. These fish farmers, what they do is to buy or produce male fish, take proper care of it, get female fish, take proper care of it. Then they have a way of bringing all the eggs in the male fish, and they will take the sperm of the on the female fish. They bring all the eggs, then they take the sperm of the male fish, apply it to the female egg, and in few minutes you have thousands of fishes from one. One fish can produce 10,000. One fish. I didn't know he's still there. I would have been looking at his mouth so that if I go wrong, he will correct me. One fish can produce 10,000. Our God is a God of abundance. Come on, say it. Say it again. God expects us to eat and have leftover. He's not a God of just, I'm sure I'm hearing it for the first time, and possibly some of you are hearing it for the first time too, that God is not a God of just enough. He's a God that provides for you. When you have served all the members of your family, you say, carry this one to that woman in that house, take this one to that man in that place. That's God. When he used few loaves of bread and few fishes to feed thousands, there was a leftover. And he said, gather it. Who knows if you will say amen? Because I feel the Spirit of God is saying in my heart that he should tell you that henceforth there will be leftover in your life. Amen. You know the meaning? When you are taking money from the bank account, you won't take everything. That thing you want to spend money on, you take money, spend it on it, and there will still be money in the account. Amen. Is that okay?
Yes.
But I don't know. You know, sometimes the way you look at me, it's like you say, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that the food in your kitchen will not just be enough.
Amen.
There will be extra.
Amen,
amen again.
Amen.
And you will not need to wash your clothes on Saturday so that you can go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
Somebody say, I should wear dirty clothes. No. Eh? There should be cloth there. When you want to give cloth to a dry cleaner, you carry cloth, give to dry cleaner. Then you are not bothering that. As the dry cleaner bring my cloth, when you are ready to go out, you open the wardrobe, bring out cloth, wear. Then when you want to give cloth to dry cleaner, you carry, say, carry this one away, go and wash. And there's still dress. If there is anything you must take home today from this fellowship, is that thing I told you I'm hearing for the first time, and possibly you heard it for the first time, that God is not a God of just enough. You know the meaning? Henceforth, there must be more than enough.
Amen.
Even in this church, there will be more than enough.
Amen.
In your family, there will be more than enough.
Amen.
In your life, there will be more than enough.
Amen.
Stand up and begin to say to God, I agree. I agree. Henceforth, there will be more than enough. God is not a God of just enough. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of surplus. When you take water from the well, you drink, there's still water there. So henceforth, when you take money from your bank account, there'll still be money there. When you take food from your kitchen, there'll still be food there. The original plan of God is that we will live in abundance. God is rich enough to make more than enough available. In Jesus' name we pray. David was a cattle rearer. Amen.
Amen.
When he was looking at how God cares for him, he tried to see how he was caring for his sheep, and he said something. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. What does that mean? Green pasture is the food of the cattle. Is that correct? Why is the cattle lying down on the green pasture? Answer. Because it is hungry. Eh? Because it has eaten and is satisfied. Then it turned the rest to what? To sleeping mats. You will say to God, Baba, I agree with your word. Poverty, lack is not your will for my life, and I reject it now. I reject it now. I reject it now. I reject it. Poverty is not a fatu. It's not a blessing from God. There is no promise in the Bible that God will bless you with poverty. Everywhere we are told God bless, He bless with abundance. Father, I reject poverty now and forever. I want to lie down in green pasture. I want to lie down in green pasture. Make me to lie down in green pasture. Father, make me to lie down in green pasture. Command the lack in your life to get out. Command the spirit of poverty to go away. And say in the presence of God, abundance, abundance, abundance be my portion. Abundance be my portion.
Abundance be my portion. I will lie down in green pasture. I will go beside the still water. Restoration is my portion. He set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He caused my cup to run over. The cup that is running over is containing more than enough. The cup that is running over contains more than enough. That's why it is running over for the benefit of others. Even the spiritual graces Jesus promised. He said it will not only be a well in us, but it will be a river flowing into eternal life. I reject poverty today. I reject lack today. I accept abundance today. For this church, I accept abundance, O Lord. For every family in this church, I accept abundance. For every man, every woman in this church, I accept abundance. Bring it to pass, O Lord, that we will lie in green pasture and we will live in abundance all our days.
In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we are grateful this morning for counting us worthy to be among those that will come and learn under your feet. Father, we are grateful for the teaching. We are grateful for the revelation of your word to our life. We thank you because you want to fulfill a purpose in our life, and that's why you are bringing this to our understanding. Father, we say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we bless your name for what you are making us to know this time around. We thank you because we know that what you want to achieve in our life, as you are teaching us this word, Father, we believe that your spirit is going to guide us and is going to assist us to be able to accept this word the way we ought to accept it and use it the way it ought to be done in our life, so that your purpose for bringing this teaching to our life will be fulfilled in our life. Father, we thank you, accept our praises in Jesus' name. And therefore, Father Almighty, we pray that all the revelation of your word, Father, which you are giving to us this time, we pray, grant us the grace to receive it and make use of it properly, so that, Father, your purpose in our life be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, you make us to understand that you are the God of abundance. And therefore, Father, we commit our lives into your hands, that whatever we lay our hands upon to do from this moment, Father, make it abundant for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, bless us abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. There be no more lacking in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. As we believe your word and hold on to your word, Father, we pray that you will continue, Father, to expand us physically, financially, spiritually, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray that we will not lack anything that thou, Lord God, have already prepared from the beginning for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh Lord, as we have returned unto you, Father, with the totality of our heart and accepted you as our Lord and personal Savior, and we are leaning upon you, depending upon you, rely upon you, Father, we pray that you continue to make us to be a people of abundance in every area of our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that everyone that will be listening to this teaching, I pray that the purpose for bringing it to our understanding will be fulfilled in their life as well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because you have helped us. Father, we commit your servant into your hands. We ask for more grace. We ask for more strength. We ask for more anointing. We ask for more power. Father, release upon him all in Jesus' name. And as you are blessing us, those of us that are listening to him, Father, we pray you bless him as well in Jesus' name. Father, we pray everything about him, Father. We pray you make it a word of abundance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because you have answered. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.